The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
It's Super Bowl week. What's the biggest change the Bills need to make so that they're playing in the big game next year instead of watching? Plus, the Bills' quarterback room looks a lot different than last year. How will that impact Josh Allen? And get out the yearbooks. It's time for the 2021 Bills Superlatives. All that's coming up on this week's edition of the Buffalo Plus Podcast.
Welcome back to the Buffalo Plus Podcast presented by DraftKings. Mike Catalana, Dan Fates. I am Jenna Cottrell. We know it's Super Bowl week, but let's talk Bills as we hope that many fans hope that they get to the Super Bowl next year. Mike, what does this team need to do to bolster their chances of playing this week?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few things that we know, right, that we've seen. But I'm going to say this one thing, and I think it's sort of overall for the team. And I think it's on Brandon Bean and the ability to bring in the right kind of players or emphasize the right kind of players currently on the roster. And I'm going to say team speed, because when I look around the league, I see a lot of talent on this Bills team, but I don't really see elite speed. And when we're talking about the wide receiver position, when we're talking about the corner spots, right? I mean, you start out in this defensive secondary with Poyer and Hyde, you're in great shape, but man, sometimes you got to chase down Tyreek Hill. And offensively, you know, we saw the difference even Isaiah McKenzie made when he's on the field, because there's just a different level, whether that's more quickness than speed.
Right.
So I'm going to say overall team speed would elevate this entire roster. And, you know, Dan, that could be at the linebacker position too.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's tough because you're starting to see some teams zig on that. Like you're starting to see teams, like we've said, like New England, like trying to turn this game back into this physical style, big guys running the ball down. Tennessee does that. Cincinnati obviously throws the ball a lot, but like I said, they've got some toughness. I think to me, it's just building around Josh Allen. And I know that sounds like a very general term, but whether that is, like Mike said, giving more speed at wide receivers, they need to, like, Josh is now the bell cow. Like, you have to put everything you can, resources, because listen, the Bengals aren't a very good football team, but you know what they have? They've got Joe Burrow, and like, they have put weapons around Joe Burrow. It's not just Ja'Marr Chase. It's Joe Mixon. It's Tyler Boyd. It's Higgins. Like, there are guys on guys for him. Now that's why I look at, it's not just the positions of wide receiver. Like, you need more than Diggs and Knox, like, to be big threats. And hopefully Gabriel Davis is like that. And I know people will say, well, they just didn't use Gabriel Davis. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe he wasn't, you know, he had a great game, but maybe he wasn't there earlier in the year. Whether that's offensive line, just like giving Josh all of the tools, right, Jenna?
Yeah. No, that's, I was going to go off of the offensive line just because you talk so much about how important it is for Allen to have the ability to get the ball to his receivers. And you want guys that are obviously going to be like the Stephon Diggs, like the Gabriel Davis, like the Dawson Knox. We're not sure what Emmanuel Sanders is doing, but it's most likely that he's done with the team. But you want to give Josh time. And I feel like earlier on the season, that was one of the reasons we saw this offense really struggle, both at running the ball and then also just in terms of the passing game, was because a lot of times Allen just didn't have the time, or there wasn't the right people in the right places. I think there's going to be a rebuild on the offensive line, just because, you know, where they're at in terms of contracts. We know John Feliciano signed a deal last offseason, but it really, I mean, when you look at it and break it down, it's not really a long-term type of situation. So that's something to me that stands out. But Mike, I understand the need and the want for more speed.
Yeah.
But do you feel like that is maybe reactionary because of what happened against the Chiefs? Or do you feel like, no, this team needs to have that another level?
Yeah, I still think the Chiefs are the team you're matched up against. And I know it's so easy to go against that. But, you know, if you're starting next year, really, I mean, we'll see what happens Sunday. Who are you picking as the best team in the AFC? Yeah. Isn't it? It's the Bills or the Chiefs, and the Chiefs beat them. So, you know, even if and this is not meant to be disrespectful to the Bengals. That what they've done has been phenomenal, but going into next year, right? It's still
they're
the
probably
Chiefs.
Not going to be favorites to win their division.
The Bengals
probably won't be favored to win their division.
Ravens? Really? No, I think the Bengals will be favored to win.
They'll be favored at least. But...
Well, because those teams are in odd transitions. That whole division is in a bit of an odd transition. Same. Now, the West could be super loaded next year. The whole AFC is going to be loaded. And when I said that, Jen, I mean in total. And you know what? You mentioned a good point about the offensive line. You know, we see teams run these screenplays and little slip screens, and the Chiefs do it all the time. Mm-hmm. Even the tight end screen, I say the screen, not to go back to 13 seconds, but they ran that quick little thing to Hill, and it gets yardage. Anytime you get the ball in Kelsey's hands, I think you could use that with Knox. You need offensive linemen that can get ahead of that play. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You need that athleticism. So to Jenna's point, I think that would help. And Dan made the best overall point, though. It's you start with Josh Allen, and you build around him.
I guess I just look at, like, so many franchises say, like, well, we got our quarterback, so we're all set. Like, all right, he's going to fix every problem that we've got on offense, and the Packers will just draft defensive players forever, and then Aaron Rodgers gets really upset about it. Like, he is your guy. You know, again.
Support him.
Yeah, like the Bengals, you know, they go with Jamar Chase instead of Penei Sewell. And, like, he gets crushed, and he gets killed, and it's like, and you got Jamar Chase though, so like you're still giving Joe Burrow weapons, and I just look at it as it would be irresponsible to invest this quarter of $1 billion in Josh Allen and be like, well, he'll fix all of the issues on the offense, so we'll just focus on the defense.
But teams, you're right, Dan. Teams do that.
They do, and be like, well, like we don't, you know, Josh is mobile. He's a big guy, Mike, so he can take hits. It's like I was going back and filing the game. The hardest hit that Josh took was the Monday night game. Matt Judon came unblocked off the side on one of them, and Josh looked to the right and Judon came off the left. And I still can't believe Josh got up. Like, it's one of those, those are the hits that you need to avoid. Yeah. And like I said, you hope that Spencer Brown is, you know, that piece moving forward at right tackle. But again, we all thought that this offensive line was set at this time last year. Like, we're going to bring all, you know, if they bring Feliciano back, they got all five guys coming back. Cody Ford put in, he's healthy, you know, all this. And that's not the case. So like,
they should have brought back the rest of Feliciano. Maybe would have helped for this year. Sorry, John. He's going to be talking about my fat face in the screen.
that's fair. Yeah, you can say that to his face. I'm not going to say that. No, I agree. I feel like Dan, like in terms of, you know, Allen can do it all, but maybe don't make him.
Yeah, and also like, despite what Sean McDermott loves to say at press conferences, this is not a young team, despite what Sean says.
Yeah.
This team, we got a young core guys. Yeah. In some places. They also need to get younger.
I don't think they're young at all.
Right. But if you listen to Sean McDermott, he will tell you they're a young Tremaine Edmonds. He's young.
Young.
But like, there are some other pieces. Again,
these guys are in their primes, the prime years.
Poyer, Hyde. Like, again, after that, you're real inexperienced.
Allen's going into his fifth. So's Edmonds, fifth year in the NFL. No, you're in your prime. Diggs is in his prime. Poyer and Hyde are still in their prime, but they're on a few years ahead of everybody in terms of that. No. Where you have youth that you need that step up is certainly on the D-line.
Yeah.
I mean, the older guys, I think, are going to be gone, and you're going to expect it's got to be Basham, Epinesa, and certainly Rousseau, who show you something this year. And that, when I think of speed, I think of that athleticism. Hey, I think Rousseau's got that. Yeah. But I think, obviously, that's a big part of it for those moments. Those moments when, look at the Bengals. And if I hear one more person tell me they had a great defense, the first half in that game with Kansas City, it should have been four drives, four touchdowns.
Yeah.
Okay? They made plays in the second half because they sort of backed off like the Bills did the first time they played the Chiefs and let Mahomes make mistakes. And that's what he ended up doing. So I think they're there to Dan's point because of Burrow, but because their D-line and their defense did make some plays, which is what you need.
Daniel.
The Bengals and the Rams, I don't know if you guys knew this, they don't run the ball really well. Like, they're both in, like, the 20th and 23rd in yards. I honestly, I think my head would have exploded if I didn't get that in on a podcast.
But they use Vixen in the pass. He's pretty good in the pass game.
But again, I was told that, like, you have to be able to run the ball to, like.
Dan, you take everything and make it all or nothing.
I just, all I had to do was sprinkle that one. That's my all-time favorite one.
This is how your brain works, though. Your brain's like, it's either everything or nothing. It's like, no. You can be a pass-heavy offense, but still have the ability to run the ball and be better at it than you were. And that's important.
Well, this is like what happened last year with the Bucs. This is what happened last year when the Bucs got hot. And everybody's like, look at how overall well-balanced the Bucs are. Like, again, teams get hot at the right time. Joe Burrow's playing well. I wouldn't even say Joe Burrow still is not playing at the level anywhere near Josh Allen. Like, everybody's like, Joe Burrow's playing great. Yes, he's tough. He is that Moxie. Heart and soul of that team. Like that is what it is.
Yeah, for sure.
By the way,
but
I think
what
we
Josh
got a
did
little
for two games.
Oh, yeah. Was incredible,
unreal.
I think we got a little glimpse of what Jenna, the mom, is going to be like as she scolded her son Dan and just put him in his place. You have to do your work. It has to get done.
Nope.
My thing is, and I've known Dan. Dan, how long have I known you now for?
2015.
Okay. Yeah. So some time. I always felt like you were either all or nothing. It was either one way or another.
It doesn't
There's
sound
no
like
in
me.
Between with you. There's no in between.
I don't know. It doesn't really sound like me.
Yeah, no, not at all. You got to pass the ball 1,000
times. That's my wife. I don't think that really sounds
like you. Don't even have a running back on the team. No, you just, I think there's a way. I understand what you're saying about both these teams in the Super Bowl. They don't really run the ball that effectively. But like Mike said, Joe Mixon has been catching passes out of the backfield. Like, that's an important part of their offense. But you have to have another level go to if things are not going well. And it also sends up the, like, RPOs and what that can do for an offense.
The Bengals are an absolute anomaly of, like, a team to get to this point. Look, their offensive line stinks.
So
their
bad.
Secondary is not very good defensively. They've caused some timely turnovers. But, like, they also, like, for an offensive line that is really bad, it's like, well, you would think they would put, like, backs in the backfield to, like, protect them or tight ends to chip. No, they just let Joe get killed and make unreal plays down the stretch. So it has been where people, like I said, so often it's the reaction. It's the most recent, you know, it's that recency bias.
Yeah.
The Bengals, like, it's insane that they're here.
Yeah.
Like what they went through.
Oh, but can I put in a guarantee? Say this is a close game, goes all the way to the end.
Okay.
Guaranteed, the first thing you hear, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if we saw these same two teams in Vegas next year. They always say that. It's not happening. It's just not happening. It's not happening.
Yeah. Mike was right last year. It was not the Chiefs and the Bucks.
Yeah.
That's and they're both really good, but they didn't make it this time because the Chiefs could have lost last year and the Bucks could have lost last year and they didn't.
Do you guys have a Super Bowl pick yet?
Well, you know, Dan's got about 8 props going to be going in that game.
I'm not shocked by that at all.
I love Joe Burrow and what he's done. I've also been a Matt Stafford fan since he was, you know, with the Lions. So I think the Rams win the game. I think the Bengals keep it close.
Okay.
So he's taking the Bengals.
The Rams win
the
game and the Bengals win your heart.
Yeah. My brother and my nephew have been Rams fans forever. You know, I don't want to be that guy. Like, I have no reason to, you know, root against them. But part of me for Cincinnati, I know Bills fans are like, oh, they'll get it before. Great. Let the Bengals win the Super Bowl. If they win it, awesome. Yeah. It's Cincinnati. You've been to Cincinnati? It's like here. It's like Buffalo. It's one of those cities.
No,
Very provincial.
I love
their team.
Better.
I don't love the chili, but I'm not a big chili guy. It's nothing against Skyline.
I feel like Buffalo's L.A. compared to Cincinnati.
Not really. They're very similar cities. Very similar. They have baseball. Buffalo has hockey. Like, it's what it is. It's what it is. So for them, good for them. And L.A., I'm hearing about the league is better without – Nobody's paying attention to the Chargers. They're all paying attention to the Rams now because they're really good. Let the Rams go 7-9 again, you know, Jeff Fisher coaching, and and then LA won't care about them again. So for right now, maybe they get it all together, but I wouldn't mind seeing the Bengals win.
I feel like for Bills fans, it's just house money not having the Chiefs in it. Yeah. Like, that's kind of my overall perspective is, like, I feel like Bills fans.
Jenna started on Chiefs fans.
Really? Jenna hates the Chiefs.
I don't hate the Chiefs. I hate
when Chiefs. She gets a job in Kansas City, we're going to have to delete all this footage.
Just some Chiefs fans were very vulgar, and I did not appreciate that.
Because Bills fans are stand-up. they are stand-up citizens in the stands.
I would like to think so. All right. Either way, I feel like it'll be a good suit. I hope both teams have fun. How about that? I'd love if Matthew Stafford won. That'd be cool. He's been through a lot when he was with the Lions. If the Bengals win, that's cool too. I just hope for a good game. All right. We're going to talk about the Bills and their QB room. But first, we have a message from our sponsor coming up.
All right, everybody, listen up because you don't want to miss out on this opportunity. The Super Bowl is here and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is here with a huge offer. They're counting down to Super Bowl 56, where new customers can get 56-1 odds on the Bengals or Rams to win. All you got to do is bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That is right. Bet just $5 on the Rams or the Bengals win the Super Bowl, and DraftKings Sportsbook will give new customers an additional $280 in free bets if the team they choose wins the game. Now, if the sportsbook isn't available right now in your state, you still have something to play for, so don't worry. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes with DraftKings daily fantasy football contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at $1 million in total prizes with their first deposit. I use DraftKings. I love it. So remember, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code BUFFALOPLUS, all caps, no spaces, and get 56-1 odds on the Rams or Bengals. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. Remember, that's promo code BUFFALOPLUS at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL.
All right, Mike, what do you make? Because we know there's going to be some changes moving forward. Obviously, Ken Dorsey is now offensive coordinator. Joe Brady will be in there. Not sure in terms of what other players will be in that room around Josh Allen. So there's a lot that's going to be different going forward.
Yeah, I think the Giants are creating the nature versus nurture experiment with Daniel Jones. If they can create the same room around him, he all of a sudden becomes Josh Allen. Good luck with that. On the Bills side, it is going to be different. You know, we talk about coaching and we talk about how Dable in his ear and all those things, which I think has been an immense help to Josh.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's moved forward, you know, and he's gotten so much better and he's had Dorsey there. I think when the room changes a little bit, I mean, Josh is tight with the whole team. He'll handle it fine. But Dan, I'm thinking, you know, if Mitchell's gone and now Davis Webb is gone, it's a different vibe. It's a different dynamic. It's now that could be a good thing. And I don't mean nothing against those guys. He loves those guys. But I think when we talk about, you know, restarting things next year and being on it maybe earlier, and maybe it causes a little more attention to detail in the off season. It is going to be different for him.
Yeah, change isn't always a bad thing. Like if you wanted to change and like get rid of your old car, or like if you wanted to change and get like new things, like or new adventures or new jobs. Like it's not always a bad thing. Like sometimes people are always so like stuck in their ways. This is just, these are hypothetical situations. These are hypothetical talks that I would just, you know, scenarios.
She bought a hat. Look.
I bought a hat.
You have something to announce? I hear what you're saying, because we had said that the continuity is great, but that the message sometimes can get stale. So there will be new pieces around. And I love Joe Brady as the quarterback's coach coming in. Look, he was a guy that, obviously he made, you know, all of his headlines and all of his money for, you know, what he did with LSU's offense, and it was incredible. And tailoring that offense for Joe Burrow, I don't think, again, it kind of gets lost a little bit from what the debacle was with Carolina. But when he came in and Joe Burrow, they wanted to like have him under center. because he finished out the end of his junior season, and it just wasn't right. Like, it wasn't good. And they brought Brady in to run this spread offense that fit Joe Burrow more, and you saw the success that they had when LSU won the national championship. So, like, I love that. I think that's a fresh face. And, again, putting more people back around Josh that will challenge him, that will push him, that aren't too egotistical or set in their ways to not roll with what Josh's strengths are. You see these young offensive minds, and I know we joke around, it's anybody that's had a cup of coffee with Sean McVay, but like those guys have been able to adapt their systems and their ideas offensively to their quarterback strengths. And I think that's what I really like. Look, Sean McVay had a really good offense with Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, I know it's based a lot about running, but like Jimmy still had to make plays, and you just go around that. So I like the fact that they're putting, as I said before, Dorsey being a quarterback's guy and Joe Brady being a guy that I think can really just tailor and be that fresh set of eyes for Josh. I like.
Yeah. I think this is too, where we get into the point of this is Allen's fifth year in the league. We know he's the guy, and like, this is what happens around the guy is things change and things progress and things look different. And I think him having the relationship he has with Ken Dorsey is also huge. Like, they have that familiarity. They really know one another's skill sets. And I think that is a positive when you bring in a new guy like Joe Brady to be the QB coach. But at the same point, I also feel like Allen has done such a phenomenal job since his rookie year of navigating those relationships. And like, I got to give the guy a bunch of credit, because I think where he was, you know, being essentially told in the beginning that he was the backup quarterback, being thrust then into the starting position when he wasn't assuming that would be the case. The Bills weren't either. I feel like he's done a really good job of handling everything. And this is just the next progression. Yeah. And I feel like earlier on this season, when we saw this Bills team be a little bit unmotivated or streaky or all those things, I felt like it was because of the success they had that season before in the AFC Championship game, being there, kind of being ahead of schedule, so to speak, and having the expectations of this is a team that's going to be really good. I feel like because of where this team is coming at now going into this year, it's that grind type of mindset because of how the way everything fell apart against Kansas City. Maybe some people think that's wrong, but I think that is going to be a motivating factor throughout the entirety of this upcoming year. That there's no doubt in my mind that for every guy that's going to be on that team that was in that game this offseason, that's going to be in their mind, and that's going to be another chip on their shoulder. So I feel like Joe Brady has done a lot for quarterbacks like Joe Burrow, and we've seen what he's been able to do. And I think he's a guy that can be there to challenge Josh in a new way, but also there's the stability around Allen to kind of have that ability to do what he does best and take advantage of all that he can do and the skills and tools that he has.
Jenna, you made the point about the way he navigates it. I think that's important. Let's be honest. Now you don't have Brian Daboll, who was around the league, you know, was with Bama, was with Belichick, has all the Super Bowl rings. I mean, he's been part of those teams. So now you're Ken Dorsey in his first time. And Josh Allen, let's be honest, he's taken another notch up. He's now the only thing that keeps me from saying superstar. He's got every part of it. He just hasn't won. He hasn't gotten them to the Super Bowl. That's the only thing. I mean, he's playing in Pebble Beach. He's a star. He just is. He physically is that, all those things. So now he's coming in. Now I have a first time head coach. I have a guy whose first experience in the NFL, Brady, was not a great one, right? It's a different room. He may have, I don't know what veteran quarterback, if we're assuming Trubisky's gone, meaning the room is different. It's all different. But Allen has been so good at that, when it would be easy to say, I walk in, this is what I like, this is the way I want to do it. Believe me, a lot of them do that. That's the way they operate. And for some guys, it just works that way. Yeah. I don't believe Josh Allen's wired that way. I don't think he is. I think he's an inclusive guy. I think he knows his place, but he doesn't take advantage of it. And I think that's what has made him so popular with his teammates, is he doesn't big time anybody.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I guess maybe has me a little concerned, and I don't know how to say this correctly, is that Josh came in with such a chip on his shoulder and such a long path to climb from this guy that was pretty much labeled a bust before he even took the field to now becoming this guy that plays at Pebble Beach, that is in commercials, that is turning into a star.
Yeah.
He is a star. To Mike said, like, the only thing is, like, maybe there's that super in front of him, but he's a star in the NFL. And that he's starting to lose things that have come, that have been familiar to him and comfortable. And yeah. I think, especially early on, I know you guys are talking about, early on, I'd like to have that guy be comfortable. They talked about, even Brandon Bean said, when they brought in Dable and they brought in Josh, was like, we need stability at this position. Because you can look at so many other teams, they have one bad year with a rookie quarterback, and they fire the OC, and then they get a new, everything changes. They've done a really good job at that. And now I just wish there was, and again, like we've said, Dorsey is that stability.
Yeah.
Safety blanket.
But, you know, I don't see Matt Barkley anymore. You know, it looks like Davis Webb is going to the Giants. You know, I know Trubisky was new, but like you started to see Shea Tierney was the assistant quarterbacks coach with Dorsey, who came in with Dable from Alabama, and now he's with the Giants. So like there are a lot of new things that I guess just has me, whereas Josh is ascending into that superstardom where all of a sudden Josh looks around and doesn't see people that he has seen before. That's my one tiny concern as to things changing. And again, maybe they do go out and get, maybe they bring Barkley back. But hey, we are no longer going to have Davis Webb, Josh Allen practice runs, races. And that is very sad to me.
I think they do the, I don't see a Matt Barkley coming back. I see what they do is, I mean, they were able to bring in a guy with skill like Trubisky. They want a backup that can play if need be, because we're now talking about, and I say this to fans all the time, nobody's replacing Josh Allen, but you might need him for a game or a week or 2 weeks, right? In that kind of case. I think that they are a team that there's guys who've been around the league who would want to be Josh's backup.
Sam Darnold.
Oh, I feel like for Sam Darnold's ego, that is a tough.
Yeah, but he's going to be in a tough spot going forward.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, why not be with your friend?
Jordan Palmer. As to what his, relationship was with Brady when he was there. But that's an interesting name. Look, Carolina, I don't know what they're doing. I just don't know what
they're
doing.
Neither do they. Yeah. Neither do they.
And so it's tough to judge in that way. But I think Jenna made that point of Josh navigating things. It's going to be different. Let me tell you something. If you looked at this past season, it went through almost like they had a lot of change. Mm-hmm. There was ups and downs. There were weird moments. There was some bad games. There was losing the opening game.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, they always had Dable. Like, you had that guy that, like, was, like Jenna said, he was the binky. He was the safety blanket. He was that warm bottle of milk at the end of the night. Like, that was Dable and him.
Yeah, but you have Dorsey and that the relationship that him and Allen have.
So here's the only thing I said about this is that there is also a very big transition. And I'm just saying this from, I played college sports, that like there was always a time when you had like the grad assistants who were like the guys that you would go out and drink with. Like they were the coaches, like they were like the mediators, and they were like, oh, he's the catcher's coach, or he's the hitting coach. Yeah. And then all of a sudden when they became like a full-time coach, they weren't a grad assistant anymore, and then they had to enforce the rules. It was like, who the hell's this guy? Like, what was that guy that we were going out getting buckets of beer with? Like, all of a sudden now you're going to tell me to go run laps? Like, I don't this anymore.
Ken Dorsey's also 40. He's not like 22.
I'm just saying, where it's like, so you need some coaches that are your friends, and you need some coaches that'll ride you.
But you don't think that Dable was both of those things to Allen?
Correct. I don't know if Dorsey was both of those things to Allen. That's my point.
Val,
I don't
you
know
got
if
him
Dorsey was more.
You got him again, Val.
No, I'm saying that's what I was saying is that I think Dable was that. I think Dorsey could have been just the friend.
Yeah, he was his coach. He's a quarterback's coach.
Yeah.
I think Josh has a lot of respect, and I see what you're saying in terms of that. If it was maybe somebody a little younger who had been more one of these upstart kind of guys.
Yeah.
Look, the biggest thing too is how much do they want to change? How much do they want to change the offense? How much influence does Sean McDermott have on what they're doing? I mean, he elevated these guys.
Actually, yeah.
Hey, I'm telling you, I love Dable, but from the moment McDermott seemed to get ticked off, the offense changed, and eventually it helped it did help them.
It did help them.
Dan, you even had to admit they became more physical and Singletary helped them. And then Josh went crazy in the playoffs.
How are you going to spin your way out of this?
Yeah. No, because I gave myself the out where I said, like, defenses are worn down. Remember, that's why it was easier to run the ball. Remember, I said that. I said defenses are tired. It's an extra game of the season. Oh, like, it was all these things. Like, it was just easier to run the ball.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
I will say, obviously, you don't want to see this Bills offense go back to the ways of, like.
Nah.
Which I don't think it'll be that, but like of just like running the ball.
The first OC that Sean McDermott hired was Rick Harrison.
Oh yeah, Rick was.
Yeah, but look at what they had then.
I also feel like Rick
Dennison. Yeah, quarterback's coach was David Culley.
That's true.
Yeah. Who had never coached quarterbacks before?
He had never coached quarterback. Wide receivers coach for the Eagles.
Yes.
Yeah. There's changes coming. I will rely on the fact that Allen is now in year five. I also think, Dan, you talk about like the relationship Dorsey and Allen have. I also think Allen is very self-aware of what he needs to work on. Like, I feel like he's one of those guys that's very self-motivated of like, I want to do this better and that better. Like, he's critical of himself, maybe sometimes to a detriment, I feel like, mm-hmm. but that's a part of it as well. There's going to be changes, though. There's
probably
every year.
Yeah.
And while there's been stability around Allen, there are fluctuations with every season.
Yeah. He's self-aware. My guess is he's hitting 5 buckets of balls today. The shots he missed at Pebble. Great throw, though.
Great throw.
Yeah. On the broadcast, they said he was out there grinding more than the pros because he didn't want to embarrass himself. It was, like, relatable.
That's it. That's it. That's motivation.
One of us.
He had a great bunker shot that made it on TV.
And that's, I actually put that on the news.
As someone here, I believe you kids would call it a flex. As someone who has played that course before, it's frightening. Wow. It is awesome. It is scary. And there were no cameras following my dad and I around when we were playing on that thing. So it is unbelievable.
When did you guys play?
That was 12 years ago. It was a charity event that we had gotten a chance to go, played all of them. It was unbelievable.
That's
that
cool.
place. Yeah. So Josh and I will talk about it someday.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure you will. You guys, but are you friends or are you able to be critical?
I'm able to be critical. You know, I can separate the two.
Okay.
Guys, know I'm right.
No, I don't agree with you at all. Okay. All right. Let's have more fun because last year we did this and it was enjoyable. The Bill superlatives as the season wraps up. So we have a couple categories. I'm going to preface it by saying this. If you pick a player for one category, you cannot pick them again.
All right. So let everybody know what we're doing here.
Superlatives.
It's the superlatives. It's
best like hair.
The
best
yearbook.
Dressed.
The yearbook.
Class clown. I'm skipping best car. Screw you guys. Coolest nickname. Yep. Social butterfly. Future president, speaks the least, says the most. And
I thought we were going to trim this list down.
Yeah, there's a lot on here.
All right, so we'll move it along.
Yeah, it was to say. All right, Daniel.
The one caveat is if I name a person for one category, he cannot be used again by myself.
Yes.
That's
we like to spread around. We want to make things a little more even. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, Michael. Best hair.
I hate to be cliched here, but he even talked about it. He gave his grooming tips this year. He sat in there and said, don't dry your hair out too much, less shampoo, rarely shampoo. He goes conditioner, I think he said 3 days a week.
Yeah.
We're talking about Dawson Knox.
Yeah,
like true. Every human being in the world is jealous of the ability to have that much hair. Maybe not everybody wants it to be so curly, but come on. It's spectacular hair.
Especially you, Mike.
I'm not quite to Sean McDermott's jealousy level, but come on. I mean, like, his teammates are jealous of that.
Yeah. I do remember, Dan, you were there too. We talked to Knox a couple years ago now about his hair care. And I guess as a rookie, he had to straighten his hair. And
yep.
And all the guys were ragging on him. And they said he looked like Lord Farquaad from Shrek. And I guess Shaq Lawson didn't realize, Bill's former defensive lineman, didn't realize that he did it as like a, like Dawson did this as a part of like rookie hazing, not hazing, but rookie being a rookie.
Right.
And Shaq was like, you know, man, it really doesn't look that bad. And Dawson was like, that's when it got even worse because this guy was trying to help me out. Oh, I just love that so much. That story. Ward Farquaad is just such a visual. Dan, do you have one?
Yeah, I'll go outside because obviously Knox is the layup. Obviously, Mike got to go first, seniority, all those things.
Yeah.
I'll throw a curveball out there. What about Cole Beasley? He had some serious flow throughout the year.
Okay.
I remember talking to him at the end of last year. He hadn't cut his hair since arriving in Buffalo.
Okay.
And then he did the real short on the sides. He had the man bun. And then eventually he cut it. But I thought he had
a man bun, actually.
He had some long hair. Like, he was twice as long as Knox.
Yeah.
Okay, but if you give it to Beasley, you got to give it to Chad Hall. They have to be together.
Chad Hall, the receivers coach, runner-up, because where was I? I was in the tunnel walking out onto a game, and Chad Hall walked out, and people thought he was Cole Beasley.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. It's not just fans. Yep.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. I feel like you guys took, like, the two good ones. I would say I have one person, but I don't want to name him yet because I feel like he's for another category.
Okay.
All right, let's go to best dress. I'm going to start with best dress because Emmanuel Sanders is best dressed by far. This man is decked out in designer. He always looks good. His wife looks great too. Like, the whole family walking into the Bills locker room, the fit was always very well done. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, veteran. He's embraced it. If you follow like the Bills when they're getting on the plane, guys have that look. Yeah. If people aren't familiar, you know, the way those guys travel, basically they wear a suit that they're going to turn around and wear. I mean, going back, it's limited, the stuff they bring. They're only at a game. They're only there 36 hours. God, it's been so strange through the years where they used to travel, and I think Rex let them wear whatever they wanted. Yeah, some teams wore a tie, like whatever it is. But the players embrace it. And look, if you're going to beat out some other guys who have been strong, I mean, he's a guy who could be in every category too. We know Mike is one of those guys, always looks great. But I like your pick on Sanders. I was thinking about that. And he's been doing this way pre Buffalo. It's been a look for him.
That's a layup, guys. It's Diggs. Oh. He's on GQ. It's Diggs. And he's got the smiley hat. Which was like the star of the week was because he wasn't feeling very happy. So he can even cheer himself up with his outfits and being best dressed.
That's true. Who would you say you guys dress the most like?
Oh, God.
No, you don't have anyone. Dan, you have a lot of style, I feel like.
Micah wears a hoodie during training camp underneath his pads. So Micah and I, we wear a lot of hoodies.
I'll say I dress the most like Brandon Bean. Wears a golf shirt, wears a suit and a tie. So there we go.
That's fair. I don't know. I wear a lot of jeans and t-shirts, I feel like, and sweatshirts. So more relaxed.
Yes.
That's more me. Okay. Class clown. Dan.
I mean, I think we're all going to pick the same one here. I think this is one we saved for. It's got to be Isaiah McKenzie. Although he's the most open about it, obviously, face of the franchise. I think there are other people that are funny behind the scenes, but vocally, especially on the social media aspect, it is definitely Isaiah McKenzie, the guy that doesn't train at night, goes home, eats Chick-fil-A, a Snickers bar, a Diet Coke, and then plays Fortnite and then goes to bed and runs faster than most people in the NFL.
Yeah. He also will be the social butterfly category. He'll also win that one as well. Mike, do you have anyone different? I feel like that's like got
it. Yeah. I mean, he would fit a lot of categories. I could name him in five. So I'm going to go on with Dan. I'm agreeing with Dan.
Yeah. No,
I think that's the unanimous. Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently Josh though is also hilarious. I mean, apparently Josh is the big kid. Like, Josh is also hilarious around
a goofball. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like John Feliciano, like all the guys talk about how funny he is.
Yeah.
We don't really see that side, I feel like. In interviews, it's very...
very calculated.
Very. I mean, I give him... I understand why.
But again, Josh would be the kid at gym class when they're not looking. He would throw the golf ball instead of hitting it and be like, wow, look at that shot. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's probably pretty true. All right, coolest nickname.
Josh doesn't have a nickname.
He really doesn't. No, he really doesn't. Like, this is actually kind of hard. Do any of the Bills really have
great nicknames?
Great nicknames. Well, like, I thought of, like, Smoke, obviously, from
New York.
Like, that, that's great. Yeah. Isn't Isaiah's a little dirty or something?
A little dirty.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know what that is.
I mean, you know, Dion goes by what?
The Snowman.
Snowman's pretty good.
And he plays that up a little, but it's just Dion. I don't know if that's necessarily like a great, I always think of a great nickname as one that just, well, that does probably fit Isaiah. that really fits the guy. I don't think, have nicknames
Motor.
Just, yeah, Motor is good.
Motor works.
Motor is good.
I feel like he's the only one that really has a nickname.
That's what I'm saying is I don't think of them as a big nickname. I just, you don't see it as much as it used to be.
Let's bring that back.
Okay.
Does Dawson Knox have a nickname? Because he didn't need the stiff arm.
T-Bass? Tyler Bass?
T-Bass?
Yeah. I mean, it's first initial, last name.
Yeah, it's not really
that. Yeah, we're stretching here.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I got it.
Who? What?
What's Sean McDermott's nickname?
Oh, Mac Daddy.
That's it.
Best nickname.
Which I don't understand how that is.
Mac Daddy.
Eating raisin bran. Okay. Future president.
I have one for this.
Okay.
Because he's serious and thoughtful. If we're going with an adult as president, which we don't always see, or sometimes too adult, if you know what I mean. How about Mitch Morse?
Ooh, I could see that. I have
my smart, thoughtful.
Yeah.
Sees things.
Yeah.
Very much likes to work with people. He'd be a good president. I'm gonna go with Mitch Morse.
I'm gonna go with Micah Hyde. Like, come on. I mean, he's seen it all. He's a veteran. He has good perspective. His family's adorable. Like, I would believe anything they said.
Yes. He would have a lot going for him if he wanted to be on.
Josh has the thumbs up. Like, Josh has the political, like, the walk around.
Historically, though, I don't know if that's like...
Well, I'm just saying, like, he just goes around shaking baby, shaking hands and kissing babies.
Yeah, not shaking babies. Yeah.
I'd say this, but I could go Emmanuel Sanders. Because I think also, his...
Great quotes from him.
Great quotes. Also... experienced, you know, much like he's played with, you know, some great guys and has seen the country. Yeah. So I'll go with Emmanuel Sanders there.
And Josh, I see Josh as more of senator because it's not as, you know, you know what I mean? He doesn't want all that.
That's a lot of responsibility. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Josh isn't serious enough.
Yes. So he can be a U.S. senator. What do they do?
What do they do anyways? Okay. The final one. Speaks the least, says the most.
Well, we've had these before. And I know the guy we mentioned last year would be a good one.
Who was it last year? I don't remember.
I believe it was Star. Yes.
Okay, yeah.
And then he decided not to play at all last year. Yes. So going in, that was going into last year.
Dang. I missed one.
Missed
Class Clown. We could have done Ed Oliver. I feel like he's always joking.
Yeah.
We also could have done Trey White.
Trey White too.
Mario Addison too.
See, Mario Addison was what I was thinking about here. Speaks the least. Now, I think he's more vocal than we know. But what we have gotten to see in the media, he's given some great quotes too. And he was the one after, like, when we were in, after the Saints win, and it was after the Colts loss, and he was like,
oh, we got our ass kicked.
Yeah.
And now we came back and we wanted to kick some ass. And it was like, yeah, that's a great quote, man. Like,
yeah.
That's a football quote.
I got one for you. I say Levi Wallace.
I like that.
Because when Levi talks, I really enjoy hearing him.
Yeah,
he's got a combination of being humble, but confident in himself, which he's needed.
That's good.
And the way he's been able to do that. And look, in that secondary, you got Poyer, Hyde, and Trey.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we know Poyer talks. You've seen him mic'd up, you know. Micah's a speaker for the team, and Trey's just nonstop. So Levi just sort of takes it all in. And then, hey, you know what? While we're talking about him, I still want to see him back. I know maybe somebody will pay him, but you'll miss that guy when he's gone. It's easy to pick on him. It's easy to say, yeah, really? Tyreek Hill beat him across the field? He beats everybody across the field. So I don't know. I'd like to see him re-sign him.
I think for me, this is a guy that we don't really talk too much. And when we do, it's not exactly like, but Matt Milano, I feel like, says a lot in the room. Like, I feel like he's a guy that is motivating to his teammates because he doesn't say all the stuff all the time. Like, he's not I feel like he's not really a rah-rah type of guy, at least not outwardly to us.
Yeah.
But I feel like when he does speak, his teammates do respond because he's not usually the one in that position.
Yeah, they've pushed his linebacker partner there as a guy to speak for the team.
Yeah, but I don't know how much – I don't want to say like outside belief there is in that, but
yeah.
What was the superlative again? Speaks the least,
says the most.
Okay, because if we wanted to do speaks the least, says the least, it'd be Justin Zimmer in a runaway.
Speaks the least, says the least. What? Really?
Because Justin Zimmer just doesn't talk at all. Period.
What about speaks the most, says the least?
Well, sometimes it's Josh Allen.
Actually, yeah. That's very true.
Ed can get going for a little bit.
Yeah.
That's true.
He gets
these
going.
Are fun. I do enjoy these.
But I'd say Ed Oliver does because he gets going. He's laughing. It's if you embrace the whole thing. And in our world, when you're trying to pick what we would call a soundbite,
yeah,
Ed's tough because he's just going and going and going. It's entertaining.
Trey's like that too.
Yeah.
It's hard to find out when you're stopping the soundbite because it just keeps going into the next one.
Yeah,
that's very fair. Did you either of you win any superlatives in high school?
I think we did this last year.
Not everyone remembers, including
worst
myself.
Worst car.
I had a 1994 Toyota Privia minivan. That had 275,000 miles on it.
1981.
Wow.
Okay, wait. Your high school was
St. Augustine.
Okay, that's.
And good. I believe it's.
St. Augustine Prep.
I might have won best hair.
No.
Excuse me. Had the
worst
in the
finger.
Middle. Oh my god.
Mike Catalano.
It's because look, I'm right next to Benny Blunt. See Benny. And see
look
me.
At you. Look at your hair.
Look
that
at
is
all that
great
hair. And
wow.
Benny, the guy next to me, he's the guy that bent my finger.
Yeah, he broke your finger in basketball.
Yep. Look at that.
Wait. Get this side by side with the picture.
Yeah, with your hand, too.
And the Baldinger finger.
Yeah. Benny, you did this to me.
Oh, my God. Okay. We're going to wrap up there. I think I own a worst car now. Actually,
they memorialize. That's the Jenna Cottrell Award now.
It's named in my honor. This year, though, getting
you didn't win anything. Could you win like best athlete?
No. Well, no? Yeah, but I don't know. Most athletic, but
oh, really?
But not. No.
Okay.
I played a bunch of sports. Actually, I had a picture of. I posted it on my story on Instagram of my mom sent me this photo from when I was playing girls lacrosse, and it was just me standing over this other girl after I hit her to the ground.
So it's like the Joe Frazier Muhammad Ali picture.
Yes,
where he's got him down on the, wow.
I told my mom I was the enforcer of girls lacrosse, and she's like, "What does that mean, honey?" I was like, okay, it's not going
Val.
Well. Val. All right, we're going to have plenty more this offseason as we talk Bills and also have a little bit of fun. Thank you so much for joining us today. Please be sure to like, comment, and most importantly, subscribe. We'll have this content up all offseason long. For Mike and Dan, I'm Jonna Cottrell. Thank you so much to DraftKings for sponsoring this podcast. Be sure to check out the Buffalo Plus channel on YouTube.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.